If you've looked at the bulletin, you know that the title that I've given this message is The Christian Life. I actually changed the title three times. And I hope this is the right one, but if it isn't, forgive me. I have a scripture here that I'd like to use, but let me introduce it this way. This week, some of you may be aware that we had some visitors from another tribe, and they came and visited with some of the people here, and they talked about some of the problems that we all have. Problems with broken families, problems with people going down the wrong path, problems with law. How do we raise our children? Weak families that aren't addressing the needs of the family members. And in the talks, I'm sure, I wasn't there, but I heard about it, they talked about how do we fix some of these problems? What are the solutions to building stronger families? How do we keep our children out of trouble? How do we be what we ought to be? And as you think about these kinds of things, I know that it comes to mind sometimes when you have children, wouldn't it be nice if they came with an instruction manual? You know how it is, you get that thing that you have to put together, and when all else fails, read the manual. Well, folks, I have news for you. There is an instruction manual for kids and for families. And I want to read for you a little bit of that manual this morning. We call it the Word of God. We call it the Bible. And God said, you know, my people need to know how to do this. And so this morning we read the law of God. We read the things that God said, this is how you can be successful. And if we'd have stopped and gone back into the book of Deuteronomy, and we'd read the Ten Commandments there, and then read a few verses after that, we would have read where God said, now this is why I'm giving you these commandments. It's so that you can live long and prosper in the land that I am giving you. These aren't things that you have to do to earn your salvation. That's not what it's about. These are the things that are going to help you to live long, to get along with each other, and to prosper in your lives. So let's take a look at the instruction manual. We're going to start at Hebrews 13, verses 1 to 8. I think the page is up there. Yeah, 1194 if you want to follow along. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison. And those who are mistreated, as if you yourself were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. So I say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. This is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Well, when Paul admonished people to love one another as brothers and sisters, he wasn't telling them to misbehave the way some brothers and sisters misbehave toward each other. You know, our kids, they didn't always get along well together. And we kind of joke about it. We say they really get along better when they're in separate rooms. And then they got a little older and we said, they really get along better when they're in separate states. And then Christy moved to Cameroon and we said, well, they really get along best when they're in separate countries. And now Tim and his family are moving to Italy. So we'll be in the United States and they'll be in Italy and Christy will be in Cameroon. And you know, folks, we get along pretty well together. But that's not what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, hey, you are together. You are family. That's not something that goes away. At least it shouldn't. And in spite of your differences, in spite of your familiarity, make it work. We are just as if we're brothers and sisters, blood relation. And as I prayed earlier, you know, help us to get past that problem in Ferguson, which is a racial problem. You know, I've said before, racism is ignorance. Because it's the first thing you see about people. They're different from me. But when you know a person, and especially if you know them well, and you come to love them, that difference disappears completely. And we do become brothers and sisters, people who care about people. And so Paul says, love one another as brothers and sisters. But Paul went further. That care, that consideration, that treatment should also refer to people like those in jail. Or those strangers that come to us, or those people that we identify who are poor and need our help. Well, then we'll sit back and we'll say, well, I'm doing pretty good there. I mean, I know people in jail and I really care for them. I really care about them. I know poor people and I care about them too. Okay, well, that's good. Let's read the next line in the instruction manual. Oh, sex, outside marriage. Let's just brush over that one because that one's a little close to home. Folks, we have to stop on that one. We have to read that. Marriage should be honored by all and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. That says no sex outside marriage. God said it. We have to believe it. And I'm not stepping on any toes here. It's not me that made that rule. But I want to point out the ramifications of going against God's will. And we want to kind of ignore those ramifications, because every time we point the finger, there are several pointing back at us. If we didn't have sex outside marriage going on, we wouldn't have near the incidence of STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. AIDS would not be a plague. We wouldn't even have the phrase safe sex, which of course we all know is just a big lie. We wouldn't have single family households. First, because we wouldn't have the children that are born to families that are not families. But secondly, because we wouldn't have the jealousy and all the enmity that comes from these things that happen outside of marriage that shouldn't be happening. And we wouldn't have near the incidence of divorce. And we wouldn't have anywhere near the poverty that we see in this country, because if you look at people that don't have physical wealth, and I'm not saying in every case, but more often than not, it goes directly to the back to the fact that they weren't able to continue on the road to better prosperity, because they are interrupted either by children that came when they were not planned, or by something that happened within that realm. Rape. Assault. Sin. And so the instruction manual from God says, no sex outside marriage. Well, if you're liberal enough to say, okay, I agree with that, then the next question very often is, well, how do we teach our children that? And the answer comes back, we live it. Because your children don't care what you say. They hear very loudly what we do. And that's in the manual too. But we'll get to that. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9 says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither the sexually... Now listen to this whole list. Don't lose me on one of these. Okay? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. You were sanctified. That's made holy. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. You see, there isn't a single one of us that can say, hey, look at me, I'm perfect. I've always been perfect. Not a one of us. And somehow, every one of us fits into that list of people that will not inherit the kingdom of God. So don't just get hung up on one of those things and point the finger at other people. Look at that whole list and say, you know, which one or two or six of these is mine? It's right there in God's instruction manual. When I counsel a man and a woman before marriage, I tell them that next to the love of God and His lessons, the love you have for your spouse is the single most important gift that you can give your children. Two parents that love each other, that care for one another, that put all else, including children, second. God calls us to love and care for our spouse as Jesus loved and cared for and died for His church. That's the example that He uses. And if we're going to teach our children how to be successful in life, they have to learn that lesson. And they're going to learn that lesson from us, or they're not going to learn it, most likely. And then Paul moves on in the instruction manual and touches on our second most sacred idol. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what it is that you have. Now, don't get me wrong. money in itself is not evil, nor is it good. It's a tremendous tool. Actually, Jesus deals with money more than any other subject. It's an important thing to face. But the pursuit of those physical wealth things is where the problem is. 1 Timothy 6 verse 10 says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It's through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." And Jesus, in Matthew 19 and also in Mark, I believe, 10, says, "Truly I say to you, that only with difficulty will a rich person enter the kingdom of heaven." And his disciples say, "Well, who can go to heaven? I mean, those rich folks, they've got everything going for them. And you say it's hard for them?" And Jesus said, "It's impossible for anyone to go to heaven except through God's power, through Jesus." You see, that's the only way it can happen. But with God, all things are possible. And so you look at your life and you say, "How can I teach my children and my grandchildren to be different from me?" Well, you can't. But God can work in your life and the life of these around you. And God has given you the church to help you to become what you should be. And if you can't stand up to it with yourself, by yourself, then reach out to those of you that ought to be able to help you. And if you are one of these people here in the church, and you see somebody reaching out to you who needs your help, you got to ask yourself, "Why did God put me here next to so-and-so?" Could it be that I'm here to help? And the answer is most likely. Paul continued then, verse 5 and 6 in the text. God said, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." So we can say with confidence, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me?" You see, God gave us that instruction manual. And he said, "Now, I'm going to help you do what's in it. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And you say, "Where was God when this happened? Where was God when that happened?" Hey folks, God didn't move. If you're far from God, who do you think moved? It wasn't God. So I challenge you, turn around. Come close to him. He said, "I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you." Then Paul went a little further. And he said, "Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith." Oh folks, this one is scary. Consider your leaders. Examine the outcome of their lives and imitate them. Do you know anybody who would dare say, "Look at me and live your life like I do"? Would you dare say, "Look at me and live your life like I do"? And then you will be what God wants you to be. Anybody who has the audacity to do that just doesn't know which way is up. But folks, that exactly is what is happening in our lives, in our families, in our community. Our children are looking at us and they are doing what we do. And they're saying, that's what it means to be human. That's what it means to be an adult. That's what it means to live your life. They're looking at us. And they're not reading God's manual. Well, maybe some of them are. I hope they are. They're reading us. And so when I settled on that title, The Christian Life, I thought, we claim to be Christians. Are we the examples that people ought to be following? Listen to the instructions. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. It goes on, though. It's not just to the children. It says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Back in Deuteronomy, it said, be careful to obey all these words that I command you, that it may go well with you and your children after you forever. And God said, again in Deuteronomy, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them. Now, wait a minute. Here are the instructions in how to make this happen. I told you there was a manual. Impress them on your children, and this is how. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you travel along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Folks, do you have that plaque up in your living room that says, Jesus Saves? Are you wearing a cap that says, Budweiser Beer? Does your t-shirt say, Jesus Saves? Or Follow Me to Church? Or does it say, well, what does it say? The instruction manual says that we teach our children by day in and day out, getting up, going to bed, talking with them, being with them. It's on the doorposts of your house. What do you have hanging from the mirror in your car? What decals are in the back window of your car? What's on the bumper sticker? You see, those are the messages, the day-to-day things that we impress on our children. That's how they learn the Christian life. Let's pray together. God, help us. Make us what we ought to be. Convict us where we ought to change. Give us strength, not just for ourselves, but that we may give strength to those around us. You give us gifts, not for ourselves, but for those around us. You called us to be part of your church so that we could support one another and encourage one another to fellowship with one another, to be your hands and feet on this earth. And so use us. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.